WATV Radio seeks to inform and engage the Bride of Christ to stand up and take your place in the army and the kingdom. We recognize our battle is not with flesh and blood, but with the principalities and the powers of the air. We are a ministry of prayer, and we highlight what God is doing through other ministries and ministers across the globe. We provide a platform for ministers and a place for the bride to come together and rally around each other, hold up each other's arms, and pray for one another. WATV Radio celebrates the various missions that God has called each one of us to in this army. So we desire to promote and enhance the bride as a whole. Go Bride! Our soon coming King awaits. This is a WATV disclaimer. The views and opinions expressed in this show do not necessarily reflect the views of We Are the Bride Ministries, We Are the Bride Radio, or We Are the Bride Television. Thank you. Hello, Bride. Are you a writer? Or do you have a story to tell and maybe you need a little help with your writing? Well, go to Treehouse Publishers today. We can help you achieve your dream. Dreams come true in our house. Do you have a book just waiting in your spirit to come out and share with the world? Well, Treehouse Publishers will help you to achieve your dream. Write that book today. Sell your book in London, in Africa, and many other countries. Let your tree bear much fruit with Treehouse today. Go to www.gotreehouse.org. Okay, Bride, welcome back. We are in Judges now. We're doing chapter 6. And listen, yesterday we're learning that when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, I mean, when they came into their promised land, you know, Joshua died. They fought the battles. Everybody got their inheritance. They set up the tabernacle in Shiloh. So everything's good. God's laid down his laws. Well, we learn in the book of Judges how the people started rebelling against God. So they started rebelling against God. So then God placed judges, people that would judge situations and that would help people to see the truth. And so when they would have a good judge, they would have peace like this. I mean, they would go to war, but God would always be victorious for them. Okay, so we just finished the story of Deborah and what she did. So now let's go ahead and start with chapter 6.
Judges 6. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. And because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. And so it was, when Israel had sown, that the Midianites came up in the Amalekites to the children of the east. Even they came up against them, and encamped against them, and destroyed the increase of the earth, till thou come unto Gaza, and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass, for they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for a multitude.
Wow.
For both they and their camels were without number.
Wow.
And they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and brought you forth out of the house of bondage. And I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you, and gave you their land.
Right.
I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But ye have not obeyed my voice. And there came an angel of the Lord, and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him, and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor.
Wow.
And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us, and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him, and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh.
Oh, he's in Manasseh.
And I am the least in my father's house.
Wow.
And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man.
Wow.
And he said unto him, If now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee, and bring forth my present, and set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until thou come again.
Oh.
And Gideon went in, and made ready a kid, and unleavened cakes of an ephah flour. The flesh he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot, and brought it out unto him under the oak, and presented it.
Oh my goodness, Bribe, we gotta talk about this a minute. He is having lunch with God. How cool is this? Because he says, okay, let's see, go back here. Oh, and the angel of the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Oh, my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why is all this happening to us? Okay, so then he says, give me a sign and just stay here until I come back. Until I come again. So he went in and made a kid, and he cooked all this food. And then let's see what happens here.
The angel of God said unto him, Take the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and lay them upon this rock, and pour out the broth. And he did so.
Wow.
Then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand, and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes. And there rose up fire out of the rock, and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes.
Oh.
Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight.
Wow.
And when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, Alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face.
Yes.
And the Lord said unto him, Peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die. Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord, and called it Jehovah Shalom. Until this day it is yet in Ophrah of the Abiezerites.
Wow.
And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, Take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw it on the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it, and build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock, in the ordered place, and take the second bullock and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove which thou shalt cut down. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants, and did as the Lord had said unto him. And so it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. And when the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, and the grove was cut down that was by it, and the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. And they said one to another, Who hath done this thing? And when they inquired and asked, they said, Gideon, the son of Joash, hath done this thing. Then the men of the city said unto Joash, Bring out thy son, that he may die, because he hath cast down the altar of Baal.
Oh, man.
And because he hath cut down the grove that was by it.
Wow.
And Joash said unto all that stood against him, Will ye plead for Baal? Will ye save him? He that will plead for him, let him be put to death, whilst it is yet morning.
Wow.
If he be a god, let him plead for himself, because one hath cast down his altar. Therefore on that day he called him Jerubbaal, saying, Let Baal plead against him, because he hath thrown down his altar. Then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together, and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. But the spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him. And he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, who also was gathered after him. And he sent messengers unto Asher, and unto Zebulun, and unto Naphtali. And they came up to meet them. And Gideon said unto God, If thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor, and if the dew be on the fleece only, and be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand.
This is how the fleece was born.
And it was so. For he rose up early on the morrow, and thrust the fleece together, and wring the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water.
Wow, that's a lot of water.
And Gideon said unto God, Let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece. Let it now be dry only upon the fleece, and upon all the ground, let there be dew. And God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground.
Okay, let me pause here, Brian, because basically, Gideon put out a fleece because he wanted to make sure this was God talking to him. And I'm going to tell you, this is okay to do this. I have done this myself. And you know, God came through. Because we do not want to act out of God's will. So put a fleece out there and ask God, God, I just want to make sure this is you. Because you know, God says, test the spirits. And I'm just going to give one quick example. When I was 36 years old, right now I'm 50. When I was 36, God called me to go to Bible college. It sounded so crazy because he had just given me a brand new home the year before. And I got to design it. I built it. And I was able to pick the floor and the cabinets and the colors and all this. Even down to the knobs. And I had my children there. And it was our beautiful little quaint home. And do you know, God wanted it back a year later. And I'm like, this has got to be the devil. God just gave me this. Why would he want it back? And why would he want me to leave and go all the way? Because I'm in Nashville, to you that don't know. Nashville, Tennessee. And God wanted me to go all the way to Columbus, Ohio. So I said, Lord, I want to know this is you. So this is what I asked him. I said, if you're wanting me to take my son, who's going to be a senior next year, all the way to Columbus, Ohio, I am asking you to put him in the school that's in the church, which is a prep school. But I wanted him to be taken care of since he was having to change his whole life for me and the vision that God called me to. And it was $4,500. And you know what God did? When we arrived, he confirmed it that he wanted me to go. But after I got there is when my miracle came. God did over and above what I asked him. Not only did he pay the $4,500, but that man bought him a clothes, bought him a wardrobe of clothes, bought him a car. The man that paid his tuition, paid all his senior fees. He paid like over $6,000. I mean, God did it, Bride. Why did I do a fleece? Because I was a single parent and I needed to know that I was hearing God. I just needed that extra confirmation and God did it. So I encourage you, this is an encouraging scripture in chapter 6. So if you feel God is calling you to go somewhere, do it. Also, here I am now 50 and I'm alone. I have no children. It's just me. And God is calling me to Washington, D.C. How scary does that sound? Here I am, no car, no money, no connections there, nobody to live with or anything. It's going flat on faith. So, I have put my confirmation. I didn't do a fleece this time because he had already told me last year that he was going to do it. So, he pre-warned me, and now he's telling me it's the time. But what I did ask him for was confirmation. And so, because I will go on his word only now, because I know his voice. He confirmed it, so now I'm going. Okay, so let's go back now to chapter 7. So Gideon got his confirmation. Let's see what's going to happen.
Judges 7. Then Jerubbaal, who was Gideon, and all the people that were with him, rose up early. And pitched beside the well of Harod.
So he went.
So that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them. by the hill of Moreh in the valley. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand hath saved me.
Oh, pause! Pause! Now remember, bride, from the very, 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 very beginning, let's go back to Abraham's days. You know, God was with him the whole entire time. God instructed him. And now let's review all the other people. Noah, Joshua, all of them. God was with everyone and he instructed them through everything. And here we are now, all the way in the book of Judges. And we are seeing God with Gideon. God is instructing Gideon. When God sends us, he will be with us. Like when I go to D.C., I'm just using this as an example of, you know, going by faith and trusting that God is going to be on the other side of your faith. God, when I get there, he's going to instruct me on what to do. When God sent me across the nation last year, and he told me, I had a car then. See, God gives me my cars. And I had an older car. It was a 2004 Hyundai Tiburon. It had a ride knocking and bald tires. And the Lord said, I want you to take that car and $20 and go. I want you to travel the entire country against the border. Travel the border and pray for the country. He gave me this huge assignment, downloaded all the instructions. Well, I left like, okay, Lord, here we go. Let me tell you, Brian, 36 states, 18,000 miles later, God did it. He absolutely did it. It was the adventure of a lifetime. All the cities I went to, God was there. He had already prepared the way, prepared the hearts of the people, already had my homes lined up, everything. And God took care of me, even gave me the equipment I needed for the mission. So, this is what's happening with Gideon. Gideon got his confirmation, and there he is on the road. So God is instructing him, you got too many people, son. Back them off, because I want the glory of what I'm about to do. So, let's trust in God in our assignments. Here we go.
I'll go to proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there returned to the people 22,000.
Wow.
And there remained 10,000.
What? Pause. Oh my gosh. He's saying if you're faint-hearted, if you're scared, go ahead and go home. Wow. That many people left him? 22,000 and there was only 10,000 left? So that means he had 32,000. That is more than half his army left. Can you imagine how Gideon felt, bride? Oh my goodness.
And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many.
What?
Bring them down into the water, and I will try them for thee there.
Wow.
And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And of whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go.
So God's doing a selection process.
So he brought down the people unto the water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, everyone that lappeth of the water with his tongue, as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise, everyone that boweth down upon his knees to drink. And the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped will I save you.
Wow.
And deliver the Midianites into thine hand. And let all the other people go, every man, unto his place.
Wow.
So the people took victuals in their hand, and their trumpets. And he sent all the rest of Israel, every man, unto his tent, and retained those 300 men. And the host of Midian was beneath him in the valley.
Wow. Wow. First of all, let's see, why did he choose the ones that laid down and lapped the water versus the ones that got on their knees? Well, when you look over here, it said that he chose, he could see who was the weak ones and he tested their faith. So I guess the ones that got down and they lapped was the ones like going for the gusto. putting the hands to their mouth. And the other ones got on their knees, bowed down upon their knees. In other words, they were too careful. They didn't want to hurt anything. They was not risk takers. Is the way I take it anyway. All right, so the people took their victuals in their hand and their trumpets, and he sent all the rest, every man into his tent, and retained 300 men. Can you believe that, Brian? He went from 32,000 soldiers down to 300. I can just imagine what Gideon's thinking. He's got this army down there in the valley, and God narrowed it down. God is so amazing. God narrowed it down from 32,000 to 300 because why? God wants the glory. Yes, that is what it is. I have read this story, but let's go ahead and see what happens.
And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, Arise, get thee down unto the host, for I have delivered it into thine hand.
God did the word.
But if thou fear to go down, go thou with Phurah, thy servant, down to the host, and thou shalt hear what they say, and afterwards shall thine hands be strengthened to go down unto the host.
Wow.
Then went he down with Phurah his servant unto the outside of the armed men that were in the host. And the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along in the valley like grasshoppers for multitude.
Wow.
And their camels were without number, as the sand by the seaside for multitude.
What?
And when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow, and said, Behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian, and came unto a tent, and smote it, that it fell, and overturned it, that the tent lay along. And his fellow answered and said, This is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. For into his hand hath God delivered Midian, and all the host.
Wow.
And it was so. When Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof, that he worshipped and returned into the host of Israel and said, Arise.
Wow.
For the Lord hath delivered into your hand.
Oh my goodness.
The host of Midian.
I gotta pause here.
And he divided the 300 men into three companies.
Tell
he put
me,
a trumpet
Jesus.
In every man's hand. With
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Let me mark where we're at. Okay. Let's examine this a minute, Bride. God narrows this down from 32,000 to 300 people. Then he tells him, I want you to go in the middle of the night, and I want you to go down, and I want you to sneak and listen to this. God sent him down there for a reason. And he said, now, if you're scared to go by yourself, you can bring somebody else. And, you know, my first little fleshly thought was, well, if God did all this, why would he even be scared? But that was God letting him know, if you want to bring somebody with you, go ahead. So, Brian, picture this. Oh, my gosh. Picture him going to the camp. He sneaks up to the camp. And then he hears his own enemies acknowledge God. That God has already delivered it before it even happened, Brian. Do you see what is happening here? They have a dream and then they confirm God is giving this to Gideon. So Gideon gets all excited, starts praising the Lord, and goes back and tells his army. So let's see what happens here. And he divided the 300 men into three companies, and he put a trumpet in every man's hand with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. Okay, Bride, let me pause here again. Remember when God said, when he told the children, when he took them into the promised land, do not put me in a box, people. I want to do unusual miracles. And this is what God is saying to us today, Bride. Do not put him in a box. What he is about to do in the earth, he wants it to be fresh and new. We cannot figure him out. Okay, that's the first thing. We cannot figure him out. He wants to do something so fresh and new to where everybody will know. Okay, for instance, here we go. Me going to D.C. There is no way in the natural this should ever work. I have no idea how he's going to do this. You know what I'm saying? But just like Gideon, all we have to do is obey. Because when we go, we're not alone. We know this. We will not be alone. God will be with us, and He will lead us through every step. And something else I just feel led to tell you is this. When God gives you a step, we cannot do anything else until that step is complete. For instance, when I was in Rhode Island last year on the tour, the Lord gave me a dream, which was an instruction, because the last quarter of the run of the tour, which was like the last 10 states, the Lord said, I don't want you to plan anything. I want to lead you by the day. And that's what He did. He gave me dreams and He told me where to go and what to do when I got to that city. So He told me, He said, I want you to go to New York City, and this is what I want you to do. Well, the church that I had partnered with in Rhode Island delayed me because the pastor had something come up and they needed me another day. So that night, the Lord didn't give me a dream. He wouldn't, until I got to New York City, He was not going to do anything else because that was where I was supposed to be. So when I got to New York, bam, He gave me another dream. Okay, so going back to this. So He has instructed him on how to take the land here, divided into 300 men. So let's keep going here.
Empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. And He said unto them, Look on me, and do likewise, and behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall ye do.
Okay.
When I blow with the trumpet, I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets also on every side of all the camp, and say, The sword of the Lord and of Gideon.
Ooh, God's going to get the glory.
So Gideon and the 100 men that were with him came unto the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch. And they had but newly set the watch. And they blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers that were in their hands. And the three companies blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers and held the lamps in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands to blow withal. And they cried, The sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And they stood every man in his place round about the camp. And all the host ran and cried and fled.
Wow.
And the 300 blew the trumpets. And the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout all the host. And the host fled to Beth Shittah in Zerarath, and to the border of Abel Meolah, unto Tabith. And the men of Israel gathered themselves together out of Naphtali, and out of Asher, and out of all Manasseh, and pursued after the Midianites. And Gideon sent messengers throughout all Mount Ephraim, saying, Come down against the Midianites, and take before them the waters unto Beth-barah and Jordan. And all the men of Ephraim gathered themselves together, and took the waters unto Beth-barah and Jordan.
Wow.
And they took two princes of the Midianites, Oreb and Zeb. And they slew Oreb upon the rock Oreb, and Zeb they slew at the winepress of Zeb, and pursued Midian, and brought the heads of Oreb and Zeb to Gideon on the other side Jordan.
Wow, like trophies. Wow, okay, now we're on chapter 8. So God made him victorious.
Judges 8. And the men of Ephraim said unto him, Why hast thou served us thus, that thou callest us not, when thou wentest to fight with the Midianites? And they did chide with him sharply. And he said unto them, What have I done now in comparison of you? Is not the gleaning of the grapes of Ephraim better than the vintage of Abiezer? God hath delivered into your hands the princes of Midian, Oreb, and Zeb. And what was I able to do in comparison of you?
Wow.
Then their anger was abated toward him when he had said that. And Gideon came to Jordan and passed over, he and the 300 men that were with him, faint yet pursuing them. And he said unto the men of Succoth, Give, I pray you, loaves of bread unto the people that follow me, for they be faint.
Aww.
And I am pursuing after Zeba and Zalmunna, kings of Midian. And the princes of Succoth said, Are the hands of Zeba and Zalmunna now in thine hand, that we should give bread unto thine army? And Gideon said,
Wow.
Therefore, when the Lord hath delivered Zeba and Zalmunna into mine hand, then I will tear your flesh with the thorns of the wilderness and with briars.
Wow.
And he went up thence to Penuel.
Wow.
And spake unto them likewise. And the men of Penuel answered him as the men of Succoth had answered him. And he spake also unto the men of Penuel, saying, when I come again in peace, I will break down this tower.
Wow, so they didn't want to help.
And Salmana were in Karkor, and their hosts with them, about 15,000 men, all that were left of all the hosts of the children of the east. But there fell 120,000 men that drew sword.
What? Wow.
By the way of them that dwelt in tents on the east of Nobah and Jogbeah, and smote the host, for the host was secure. And when Zeba and Zalmunna fled, he pursued after them, and took the two kings of Midian, Zeba and Zalmunna, and discomfited all the host.
Wow.
And Gideon the son of Joash returned from battle before the sun was up.
Wow.
And sent a young man of the men of Succoth, and inquired of him. And he described unto him the princes of Succoth and the elders thereof, even 70 men. And he came unto the men of Succoth and said, behold, Zeba and Zalmunna, with whom ye did upbraid me, saying, are the hands of Zeba and Zalmunna now in thine hand, that we should give bread unto thy men that are weary?
Oh, he didn't forget, did he?
And took the elders of the city, and thorns of the wilderness, and briars, and with them he taught the men of Succoth. And he beat down the tower of Penuel, and slew the men of the city.
Wow.
Then said he unto Zeba and Zalmunna, what manner of men were they whom ye slew at Tabor? And they answered, as thou art, so were they. Each one resembled the children of a king. And he said, they were my brethren, even the sons of my mother.
Aww.
As the Lord liveth, if ye had saved them alive, I would not slay you. And he said unto Jether, his firstborn, up and slay them.
Wow.
But the youth drew not his sword, for he feared, because he was yet a youth.
Wow.
Then Zeba and Zalmunna said, rise thou, and fall upon us. For as the man is, so is his strength. And Gideon arose, and slew Zeba and Zalmunna, and took away the ornaments that were on their camels' necks. Then the men of Israel said unto Gideon, rule thou over us, both thou and thy son, and thy son's son also. For thou hast delivered us from the hand of Midian. And Gideon said unto them, I will not rule over you, neither shall my son rule over you. The Lord shall rule over you.
Aww.
And Gideon said unto them, I would desire a request of you, that ye would give me every man the earrings of his prey. For they had golden earrings, because they were Ishmaelites.
Wow.
And they answered, we will willingly give them. And they spread a garment, and did cast therein every man the earrings of his prey. And the weight of the golden earrings that he requested was 1,700 shekels of gold, beside ornaments and collars and purple raiment that was on the king of Midian, and beside the chains that were about their camels' necks.
Wow.
And Gideon made an ephod thereof, and put it in his city, even in Ophrah. And all Israel went thither a whoring after it, which thing became a snare unto Gideon and to his house.
Oh, man.
Thus was Midian subdued before the children of Israel, so that they lifted up their heads no more.
Oh.
And the country was in quietness 40 years in the days of Gideon. And Jerubbaal, the son of Joash, went and dwelt in his own house. And Gideon had 70 sons of his body begotten, for he had many wives.
Wow.
And his concubine that was in Shechem, she also bare him a son, whose name he called Abimelech.
Oh.
And Gideon the son of Joash died in a good old age, and was buried in the sepulchre of Joash his father, in Ophrah of the Abiezerites.
Oh.
And it came to pass, as soon as Gideon was dead, that the children of Israel turned again and went a whoring after Balaam.
Oh,
and
man.
Made Baal-perith their god. And the children of Israel remembered not the Lord their God, who had delivered them out of the hands of all their enemies on every side. Neither showed they kindness to the house of Jerubbaal, namely Gideon, according to all the goodness which he had shown unto Israel.
Well, so Gideon died. He was a soldier, but he became the father of Abimelech.
Judges 9. And Abimelech the son of Jerubbaal went to Shechem unto his mother's brethren, and communed with them and with all the family of the house of his mother's father, saying, speak, I pray you, in the ears of all the men of Shechem, whether it's better for you either that all the sons of Jerubbaal, which are 70 persons, reign over you, or that one reign over you. Remember also that I am your bone and your flesh. And his mother's brethren spake of him in the ears of all the men of Shechem all these words, and their hearts inclined to follow Abimelech, for they said, he is our brother. And they gave him 70 pieces of silver out of the house of Baal-berith, wherewith Abimelech hired vain and light persons which followed him. And he went unto his father's house at Ophrah, and slew his brethren the sons of Jerubbaal, being 70 persons upon
what?
Notwithstanding yet Jotham, the youngest son of Jerubbaal, was left, for he hid himself.
Oh, man.
And all the men of Shechem gathered together, and all the house of Milo, and went and made Abimelech king by the plain of the pillar that was in Shechem.
Wow.
They told it to Jotham.
Pause. Wow. Let me pause it right there. Now we are seeing Israel's first king. Wow. I'm just in shock. This is Gideon's son that became the king. And remember, they came to him wanting to be a king. They wanted Gideon to be a king. Remember, let you and your son's sons rule over us, which means king. And Gideon said, God is your king. Now remember, bride, in the beginning of this BAM In Your Face Devil Bible Studies, that was one of the questions I had for God. Why did you get mad when Israel wanted a king? And then over the time, we learn that the reason God got mad is because he wanted to be their king. He wanted to be their crutch, their leader, the one that they turn to, the one they cleave to. Remember the word cleave. So what they've done here is that after Gideon died, they turned around and made this man king. And what did he do? His thirst for power, his lust for power, he turned around and killed all the brethren. Let's go back and review this. I mean, how sad is this story here, bride? It is so sad. But let's see why it happened here. Gideon had 70. Okay, hold on. Let's back up here a little bit. Okay, and Jerubbaal, the son of Joash, went and dwelt in his own house. And Gideon, remember, Gideon is Jerubbaal, had 70 sons of his body begotten, for he had many wives. And his concubine that was in Shechem, she also bare him a son whose name was called Abimelech. Oh, okay, so this Abimelech was from his concubine. And Gideon, the son of Joash, died in a good old age and was buried in the sepulcher of Joash's father in Ophrah of the Ebersrites. And it came to pass, as soon as Gideon was dead, that the children of Israel turned again and went a-whoring after Balaam. And the children of Israel remembered not the Lord God, neither showed they kindness to the house of Jerubbaal, namely Gideon. See, there's the confirmation. According to all the goodness. Okay, so Abimelech, the son of Jerubbaal, went to Shechem and to his mother's brethren and communed with them and with all the family. Oh, so he was being slick. With all the family. Let me turn the page here. Of the house of his mother's father, saying, speak, I pray you, in the ears of all the men of Shechem, whether it be better for you, either that all the sons of Jerubbaal, which are the 70 persons, reign over you, or that one reign over you. Remember also that I am your bone and flesh. So in other words, he is, there you go, ambition, self-exaltation, and craftiness. He was crafty, so he was trying to get them to make him a king. And his mother's brethren spoke of him in the ears of all the men of Shechem, all these words, and their hearts inclined to follow Abimelech, for they said, he is our brother. Now, what is sad about this is that he used his brethren to become king, but then he turned around and killed them all. Isn't that sad? And they gave him 70 pieces of silver out of the house of Belberith, wherewith Abimelech hired vain and light persons, which followed him. And he went up unto his father's house at Ophrah, and slew his brothers, the son of Jerubbaal, being 70 persons upon one stone. Isn't that sad? Notwithstanding, yet Jotham, the youngest son of Jerubbaal, was left, for he hid himself. And all the men of Shechem gathered together, and all the house of Milo, and went and made Abimelech king by the plain of the pillar that was in Shechem. That is so sad. All right, let's see if this actually goes to verse 7.
Put in the top of Mount Gerizim, and lifted up his voice, and cried and said unto them, hearken unto me, ye men of Shechem, that God may hearken unto you. The trees went forth on a time to anoint a king over them, and they said unto the olive tree, reign thou over us. But the olive tree said unto them, should I leave my fatness, wherewith by me they honor God and man, and go to be promoted over the trees? And the trees said to the fig tree, come thou, and reign over us. But the fig tree said unto them, should I forsake my sweetness and my good fruit, and go to be promoted over the trees? Then said the trees unto the vine, come thou, and reign over us. And the vine said unto them, should I leave my wine, which cheereth God and man, and go to be promoted over the trees? Then said all the trees unto the bramble, come thou, and reign over us.
Oh.
And the bramble said unto the trees, if in truth ye anoint me king over you, then come, and put your trust in my shadow. And if not, let fire come out of the bramble, and devour the cedars of Lebanon. Now therefore, if ye have done truly and sincerely, in that ye have made Abimelech king, and ye have dealt well with Jerubbaal and his house, and have done unto him according to the deserving of his hands. For my father fought for you, and adventured his life far, and delivered you out of the hand of Midian.
Oh my goodness.
And ye are risen up against my father's house this day, and have slain his sons, 70 persons,
upon
one stone. And have made Abimelech the son of his maidservant king over the men of Shechem, because he is your brother. If ye then have dealt truly and sincerely with Jerubbaal and with his house this day, then rejoice ye in Abimelech.
Wow.
And let him also rejoice.
Wow. In busted.
But if not,
busted.
Let fire come out from Abimelech and devour the men of Shechem and the house of Milo. And let fire come out from the men of Shechem and from the house of Milo and devour Abimelech.
Oh my goodness.
And Jotham ran away and fled and went to Beer and dwelt there for fear of Abimelech his brother.
Yeah.
When Abimelech had reigned 3 years over Israel, then God sent an evil spirit between Abimelech and the men of Shechem. And the men of Shechem dealt treacherously with Abimelech. That the cruelty done to the 70 sons of Jerubbaal might come, and their blood be laid upon Abimelech their brother.
Wow.
Which slew them, and upon the men of Shechem, which aided him in the killing of his brethren.
Wow.
And the men of Shechem set liers in wait for him in the top of the mountains. And they robbed all that came along that way by them. And it was told Abimelech. And Gael, the son of Ebed, came with his brethren and went over to Shechem. And the men of Shechem put their confidence in him. And they went out into the fields and gathered their vineyards and trod the grapes and made merry and went to the house of their God and did eat and drink and cursed Abimelech.
Wow.
And Gael, the son of Ebed, said, who is Abimelech and who is Shechem that we should serve him? Is not he the son of Jerubbaal and Zebul his officer? Serve the men of Hamor, the father of Shechem, but why should we serve him?
Oh, man.
And would to God this people were under my hand, then would I remove Abimelech. And he said to Abimelech, increase thine army and come out. And when Zebul, the ruler of the city, heard the words of Gael, the son of Ebed, his anger was kindled. And And he sent messengers unto Abimelech privily, saying, Behold, Gaal the son of Ebed and his brethren be come to Shechem, and behold, they fortify the city against thee. Now therefore, up by night, thou and the people that is with thee, and lie in wait in the field. And it shall be that in the morning, as soon as the sun is up, thou shalt rise early, and set upon the city, and behold, when he and the people that is with him come out against thee, then mayest thou do to them as thou shalt find occasion.
Wow, so he was warned.
And Abimelech rose up, and all the people that were with him by night, and they laid wait against Shechem in four companies.
Wow.
And Gaal the son of Ebed went out and stood in the entering of the gate of the city. And Abimelech rose up, and the people that were with him, from lying in wait. And when Gaal saw the people, he said to Zebul, Behold, there come people down from the top of the mountains. And Zebul said unto him, Thou seest the shadow of the mountains as if they were men. And Gaal spake again and said,
funny.
See, there come people down by the middle of the land, and another company come along by the plain of Meonim. Then said Zebul unto him, Where is now thy mouth wherewith thou saidst? Who is Abimelech that we should serve him?
Oh.
Is not this the people that thou hast despised? Go out, I pray now, and fight with them. And Gaal went out before the men of Shechem, and fought with Abimelech. And Abimelech chased him, and he fled before him. And many were overthrown and wounded, even unto the entering of the gate. And Abimelech dwelt at Arumah. And Zebul thrust out Gaal and his brethren, that they should not dwell in Shechem. And it came to pass on the morrow that the people went out into the field, and they told Abimelech. And he took the people and divided them into three companies and laid wait in the field and looked. And behold, the people were come forth out of the city. And he rose up against them and smote them.
Wow.
And Abimelech and the company that was with him rushed forward and stood in the entering of the gate of the city. And the two other companies ran upon all the people that were in the fields and slew them.
Wow.
And Abimelech fought against the city all that day, and he took the city and slew the people that was therein, and beat down the city, and sowed it with salt. And when all the men of the tower of Shechem heard that, they entered into an hold of the house of the god Berith.
Oh, man.
And it was told Abimelech that all the men of the tower of Shechem were gathered together. And Abimelech gat him up to Mount Zalman, he and all the people that were with him. And Abimelech took an axe in his hand, and cut down a bough from the trees, and took it, and laid it on his shoulder, and said unto the people that were with him, What ye have seen me do, make haste, and do as I have done. And all the people likewise cut down every man his bough, and followed Abimelech, and put them to the hold, and set the hold on fire upon them, so that all the men of the tower of Shechem died also, about 1,000 men and women.
Wow.
Then went Abimelech to Thebez, and encamped against Thebez, and took it. But there was a strong tower within the city, and thither fled all the men and women, and all they of the city, and shut it to them, and got them up to the top of the tower. And Abimelech came unto the tower, and fought against it, and went hard unto the door of the tower to burn it with fire. And a certain woman cast a piece of a millstone upon Abimelech's head, and all to break his skull.
What?
And he called hastily unto the young man his armor-bearer, and said unto him, Draw thy sword and slay me, that men say not of me, a woman slew him.
Oh.
And his young man thrust him through, and he died.
Oh, man.
And when the men of Israel saw that Abimelech was dead, they departed every man unto his place. Thus God rendered the wickedness of Abimelech, which he did unto his father in slaying his 70 brethren.
Oh.
And all the evil of the men of Shechem did God render upon their heads. And upon them came the curse of Jotham, the son of Jerubbaal.
Wow, that's a sad story, isn't it, Brad? Okay, we're on chapter 10. This is a lot of adventures, isn't it?
And after Abimelech, there arose to defend Israel Tola, the son of Puah, the son of Dodo, a man of Issachar.
Dodo.
And he dwelt in Shamir in Mount Ephraim. And he judged Israel 23 years.
Oh, okay, pause. We don't have a king. We went back to Judges, isn't that something?
And was buried in Shamir. And after
23 years.
A Gileadite, and judged Israel 22 years.
So we're back to Judges.
30 sons that rode on 30 ass colts, and they had 30 cities which are called Havath Jair unto this day, which are in the land of Gilead. And Jair died and was buried in Calim. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and served Baal and Ashtoreth and the gods of Syria and the gods of Sidon and the gods of Moab and the gods of the children of Ammon and the gods of the Philistines, and forsook the Lord and served not him. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hands of the Philistines and into the hands of the children of Ammon. And that year they vexed and oppressed the children of Israel 18 years.
Here we go with 18 again.
They were on the other side Jordan in the land of the Amorites, which is in Gilead. Moreover, the children of Ammon passed over Jordan to fight also against Judah and against Benjamin and against the house of Ephraim, so that Israel was sore distressed. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, saying, "We have sinned against thee, both because we have forsaken our God, and also served Balaam." And the Lord said unto the children of Israel, "Did not I deliver you from the Egyptians, and from the Amorites, from the children of Ammon, and from the Philistines?"
Okay, let me pause. Okay. Whew, this is one thing about the character of God that I have learned in all these Bible studies, and in all the examinations. Hello, beautiful blue jay. I love that blue jay comes and eats this bird food every day. But anyways, one of the characteristics that I've learned of God is when the people repent, they truly repent and they come back to God, he tells them what they did. He reminds them of their transgression. Now, this is same applies to us today. When we repent to God, he will tell us what we have done. He will remind us, because he does not want us doing it again. Okay? So, that is what he is doing here. And really, this is the mercy of God for us. Okay, so let's see. Let's continue here.
The Zidonians also, and the Amalekites, and the Maonites, did oppress you. And ye cried to me, and I delivered you out of their hand. Yet ye have forsaken me, and served other gods. Wherefore I will deliver you no more. Go, and cry unto the gods which ye have chosen. Let them deliver you in the time of your tribulation.
Oh, wow. You chose other gods. See, this is the thing. Israel goes whoring after other lovers. They serve all these other idols. But now God is getting frustrated. So he's like, go cry unto them, the ones you keep serving, and see how they deliver your butt, basically. All right, we're on verse 15.
And the children of Israel said unto the Lord, "We have sinned. Do thou unto us whatsoever seemeth good unto thee. Deliver us only, we pray thee, this day." And they put away the strange gods from among them,
see,
and served the Lord. And his soul was grieved for the misery of Israel. Then the children of Ammon were gathered together and encamped in Gilead. And the children of Israel assembled themselves together and encamped in Mizpeh. And the people and princes of Gilead said one to another, "What man is he that will begin to fight against the children of Ammon? He shall be head over all the inhabitants of Gilead."
Okay, now we're on the last chapter of this Bible study today, which is chapter 11.
Judges 11. Now Jephthah, the Gileadite, was a mighty man of valor, and he was the son of an harlot. And Gilead begat Jephthah. And Gilead's wife bare him sons, and his wife's sons grew up. And they thrust out Jephthah, and said unto him, "Thou shalt not inherit in our father's house, but thou art the son of a strange woman."
Wow.
Then Jephthah fled from his brethren, and dwelt in the land of Tob. And there were gathered vain men to Jephthah, and went out with him. And it came to pass in process of time, that the children of Ammon made war against Israel. And it was so, that when the children of Ammon made war against Israel, the elders of Gilead went to fetch Jephthah out of the land of Tob. And they said unto
That's
Jephthah,
"A funny city.
And be our captain, that we may fight with the children of Ammon." And Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, "Did not ye hate me and expel me out of my father's house? And why are ye come unto me now when ye are in distress?
Well,
and the elders of Gilead said unto Jephthah, therefore, we turn again to thee now, that thou mayest go with us, and fight against the children of Ammon, and be our head over all the inhabitants of Gilead. And Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, if ye bring me home again to fight against the children of Ammon, and the Lord deliver them before me, shall I be your head? And the elders of Gilead said unto Jephthah, the Lord be witness between us, if we do not so according to thy words. Then Jephthah went with the elders of Gilead.
Is this another king in the making?
And the people made him head and captain over them. And Jephthah uttered all his words before the Lord in Mizpeh.
Oh, okay.
And Jephthah sent messengers unto the king of the children of Ammon, saying, what hast thou to do with me, that thou art come against me to fight in my land? And the king of the children of Ammon answered unto the messengers of Jephthah, because Israel took away my land when they came up out of Egypt,
from
Arnon even unto Jabbok, and unto Jordan. Now therefore, restore those lands again peaceably.
What the world?
And Jephthah sent messengers again unto the king of the children of Ammon.
I don't think so.
And said unto him, thus saith Jephthah, Israel took not away the land of Moab, nor the land of the children of Ammon. But when Israel came up from Egypt, and walked through the wilderness unto the Red Sea, and came to Kadesh, then Israel sent messengers unto the king of Edom, saying, let me, I pray thee, pass through thy land.
Yes.
But the king of Edom would not hearken thereto. And in like manner they sent unto the king of Moab, but he would not consent. And Israel abode in Kadesh. And they went along through the
wilderness. Wow, he's reminding
him. The land of Edom and the land of Moab, and came by the east side of the land of Moab, and pitched on the other side of Arnon, but came not within the border of Moab, for Arnon was the border of Moab. And Israel sent messengers unto Sihon, king of the Amorites, the king of Heshbon. And Israel said unto him, let us pass, we pray thee, through thy land into my place.
So he's reminding him.
But Sihon trusted not Israel to pass through his coast. But Sihon gathered all his people together, and pitched in Jahaz, and fought against Israel.
Man.
And the Lord God of Israel delivered Sihon and all his people into the hand of Israel, and they smote them. So Israel possessed all the land of the Amorites, the inhabitants of that country. And they possessed all the coasts of the Amorites, from Arnon even unto Jabbok, and from the wilderness even unto Jordan. So now the Lord God of Israel hath dispossessed the Amorites from before his people Israel. And shouldst thou possess it? Wilt not thou possess that which Chemosh thy God giveth thee to possess? So, whomsoever the Lord our God shall drive out from before us, then will we possess. And now, art thou anything better than Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab? Did he ever strive against Israel, or did he ever fight against them? While Israel dwelt in Heshbon and her towns, and in Aroer and her towns, and in all the cities that be along by the coasts of Arnon, 300 years, why therefore did ye not recover them within that time?
Wow.
Wherefore I have not sinned against thee, but thou dost me wrong to war against me. The Lord, the judge, be judged this day between the children of Israel and the children of Ammon.
Oh, man.
Albeit the king of the children of Ammon hearkened not unto the words of Jephthah, which he sent him. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah, and he passed over Gilead and Manasseh, and passed over Mizpeh of Gilead. And from Mizpeh of Gilead he passed over unto the children of Ammon.
Uh-oh.
And Jephthah vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, if thou shalt without fail deliver the children of Ammon into mine hands, then it shall be that whatsoever cometh forth of the doors of my house to meet me, when I return in peace from the children of Ammon, shall surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it up for a burnt offering.
What? Get out
so
of here!
So Jephthah passed over unto the children of Ammon to fight against them, and the Lord delivered them into his hands.
Oh my goodness, are you hearing this? Oh, I'm panicking. What is this, Lord? What is this? Because he tells the Lord, he makes a vow. Remember, God takes vows very seriously. He says, Lord, if you will deliver the children of Ammon this day, when I get back to my house, the first one that enters the doors, I will put it on the altar and give to you. Which means a living sacrifice, people. That's what he's saying. Let's go back and read this again. Whatsoever cometh forth of the doors of my house to meet me, which he's saying, I love you, God, more than I do my spouse, my children, my dog, whatever. He says, whatever comes through first of my house to meet me when I return in peace from the children of Ammon shall surely be the Lord's. I will offer it up for a burnt offering. I'm thinking of Abraham with his son. Oh my goodness. I am so nervous here. Let's keep going.
And he smote them from Aroer, even till thou come to Minith, even 20 cities, and unto the plain of the vineyards, with a very great slaughter. Thus the children of Ammon were
sold. God came through. He fulfilled his side of the vow, didn't he?
And Jephthah came to Mizpah of his house. And behold, his daughter came out to meet him.
Oh no, that's so sad.
With timbrels and with dances.
Oh, that's so sad.
And she was his only child. Beside her, he had neither son nor daughter.
Oh, that is so sad.
And it came to pass when he saw her that he rent his clothes and said, alas, my daughter, thou hast brought me very low, and thou art one of them that trouble me. For I have opened my mouth unto the Lord, and I cannot go back.
Oh, this is so sad.
And she said unto him, my father, if thou hast opened thy mouth unto the Lord, do to me according to that which hath proceeded out of thy mouth. For as much as the Lord hath taken vengeance for thee of thine enemies, even of the children
wow,
of Ammon.
Wow, what a daughter. What
and she said
a
unto
daughter.
Her father, let this thing be done for me. Let me alone 2 months, that I may go up and down upon the mountains and bewail my virginity, I and my fellows. And he said, go. And he sent her away for 2 months. And she went with her companions and bewailed her virginity upon the mountains.
What is bewailed?
And it came to pass at the end of 2 months that she returned unto her father, who did with her according to his vow, which he had vowed. And she knew no man. And it was a custom in Israel that the daughters of Israel went yearly to lament the daughter of Jephthah, the Gileadite, 4 days in a year.
Oh my goodness, Brad, is that so sad? Oh, that's so sad. That was his only daughter. But he promised the Lord and he had to come through with it. Oh my goodness, that is so sad. But we have to keep our promise. And for sure, when he died, he got to see her for sure. But that is so sad, isn't it, Brad? All right, now tomorrow, we will be on chapter 12.